Praise God. You guys believe that? It is miraculous what the Word does when it is planted in a human heart. It's amazing. We just need to be receptive and open to what He is doing. And His Word, it's eternal. It's alive. I mean, you can feed on it and feed on it and feed on it. And you know, it's just like taking a teaspoon to the ocean and dipping out of a spoonful. You just haven't even dented the ocean. I mean, it's limitless in that respect. No man could ever tap all of its resources. You just, you know, you go to the beach and just look out, and that's hardly any of it. It just goes on. You can't even see it. I mean, that's just the smallest little fraction of the world. Well, God is, that's not even a good comparison to what God is. God is infinite. I mean, He created the whole universe. We're talking about the ocean. The ocean is one tiny little part of the planet. Our planet is so small compared to other planets in the solar system, so small compared to our sun, so small compared to the rest of the universe, and our God made all of it. And so He is limitless. His Word is limitless. His Spirit is limitless. And it's amazing that when a human heart will open up to the Word of God, what can transpire. Because that's the way He created it. So we can drink and be satisfied for the time being, but we still want more, and it's a good thing to be addicted to, is the Word of God. Let's look at Mark 11:22. And the Word, being addicted to the Word, will change any other addiction. Will overcome any addiction. Because that you get the Word in you, it will allow us to be free of things that would try to bind us. The enemy, Satan, tries to bind us here on this earth. Even Christians. Of course, non-Christians. But even Christians, if he can get a hook in our flesh, a hook in our mind, he tries to lead us around and guide us by that and basically keep us enslaved. That's his will for our life, is to be enslaved. But God has come to set us free. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Mark 11:22-24. Let's go ahead and take the time to turn over there. That's our text. Mark 11:22. Praise God. I hope you guys are getting built up and getting something out of this. I know I am. You know, when you teach something, it's in front of you. And, of course, the Spirit of God here is here to quicken us, and it just strengthens. Whatever you focus your attention on in the Word, you'll be strengthened in. Mark 11:22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" So Jesus said in verse 23, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So what you believe, what you say is important. What you believe about what you say is important. If you believe your words are powerful, then you'll watch what you say. If you believe that your words change things and that can come to pass, you will watch what comes out of your mouth. And you can tell how much you believe this by what comes out of your mouth. I mean, some people, they let their mouth rip, and you can tell there's a lack of understanding. We could look at ourselves, and the more aware you become of this truth, the more careful you'll be about word choices. You'll be careful about letting your emotions control your words. Because you'll realize, like we were talking about several weeks ago, you're setting a path, your words are powerful, and if we'll watch our words, you'll find that they do carry more weight when you do speak. Now, they didn't say I'm not going to say that. Romans 10:8-10, let's read that on your sheet. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our words are powerful. We confess the Lord Jesus with our words and say, he is my Lord. We ought to watch other things that would come out that would contradict that or that would dilute that. We talked, let's go back over to James. We spent some time here the last 2 weeks, but James 3, verse 2. James 3, verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And we said last time, I think the time before, that it says there, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Now, that doesn't mean that you are flawless. That means that you're mature. Able also to bridle the whole body. So what you do with your words is an indication of your maturity level, spiritually speaking. Verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a little fire kindles. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Now, we touched base on that some last week. The devil would love to control your tongue. Because if he can control your tongue, what do we just read? Your tongue, you bridle the whole body. And we say, and you see that horses are controlled by a little bit, and ships are controlled by a small rudder, and they go wherever the pilot desires. Well, if you can get control of the ship, if you can get control of the rudder of the ship, you can make the ship go wherever you want. And it's the same thing. If the enemy can get a hold of your tongue, he can control your life. So he desires to work through you. Do you know the devil? He desires to have power. He desires to have men worship him. He desires to control men. That's why he rebelled against God. It was a stupid move, but evidently he wanted to be worshipped. And you can see that. He wanted Jesus to bow down to him. And he wants... Spirits don't have a body here on this earth. And the way you express yourself here on this earth is you need a body. That's why spirits will try to influence people. And that's why ultimately, if they can get control of a human body, that's a prize. Because they can do things, and that's why they're looking to do that. But if they can get you, even if they can't take you over, they want to control your tongue. Satan would love to control your tongue and to tear other people down through you. And we have to be on guard. Not everything that comes to your mind about what you about things to say is from your head. And we need to know that thoughts that come into our head are not just generated by you. They can be planted by the enemy. The spirit, things to say against somebody, or things to tear somebody down. Those are not godly thoughts. And we have to watch what comes out of our mouth. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. Now, clearly, it says in verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So he's saying a mature person, if he doesn't stumble in word, you're mature and can bridle your whole body. So in verse 8, we're not saying you have no, but on the other hand, you just have no control of your tongue. That would be contradictory in the same verse. I mean, the same chapter here, broken down to chapter, same letter. No man can tame the tongue. You cannot do it in your own strength, but you can do it with the Lord. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude, say that fast five times, of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And this is what I want to focus on this evening. Is that, number one, like we said, our words control our lives. And the more we understand that, the more we're going to watch what we say. And as we ought not to just let anything come out of our mouth that's negative. And on the other hand, try, you know, you're positive at some times, and then you basically go completely 180 in the opposite direction and tear down. So if your tongue is controlling your life, and you're constantly going one direction, but then going 180 in the other, that would be like you going down the highway. You're on a trip to, let's say, New York. Say we're going to Schenectady, where Pete's from. And you start going down there, and about 10 miles into the trip, you turn around, get off the exit, and go back the other way. And after, you know, then you get off the exit you just got on, and you start going back to Schenectady. But you go longer this time, about 50 miles, you get off an exit, get off, come back, and start heading back to Boston for 15 miles this time before you realize, what am I doing? I don't really want to go this way. I want to go west. So are you really determined now? You're going to get back on the highway, and you're going to go 100 miles, you make it. Then you're like, why am I going west? I really don't like Schenectady. I'm going to go back to Boston. No, I've been there. It's a nice place. And so you go back to Boston, and 5 miles later, you determine, wait, what am I doing? I have family there. I want to go there. So you turn and you get back on there. You would say, you're wasting your time. You're backtracking constantly. But that's exactly what we do with our lives. If our mouth determines our direction and controls our lives, we ought not zigzag. We ought not go forward. I believe God. I thank God we're in church. Lord, I praise you. I exalt you. I worship you. You are so awesome. And you get full of the word and you go out of here and you're like, praise God. I'm so thankful, Lord Jesus. You're so good to me. I'm so thankful. Or you had a good day and everything's going well. And, you know, you got a raise at work, or somebody called you, you know, with some good news or whatever, and Lord, you're so good to me. I'm just so thankful. And then, you know, the next day something doesn't go so well, and then another thing, and then another thing, maybe, and then pretty soon you're, well, I don't know, what's going on anyway? Where's God? And you start going and letting this stuff come out of your mouth that actually completely contradicts what you were saying 24 hours earlier. And we ought, now, we probably Well, not probably. All of us have missed it in this area, in this room. Okay?
Yes.
But we didn't have to. And we don't have to going forward. You say, no, there's just sometimes I can't take it anymore. I got to let it out. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. That's not true. Just because there's pressure brought to bear and you feel like doing it, we read in the verse earlier that the tongue set on fire by hell. The enemy will press you to say things. Anybody found this out?
Yes.
Stuff is swirling out in your mouth, but it's not enough for it to stay, in your head, it's not enough for it to stay in there. The enemy wants you to release it. You may be thinking some bad thoughts against somebody, but that's a whole lot different than saying them. How many of you found that out? You can't take them back. They're out there. You can apologize, but if you go ahead and say it and then go, shouldn't have said that. Knew I shouldn't have said that, but I just couldn't help myself. That's not actually true. You yielded to it.
Yep.
You all with me?
Yes.
We didn't have to. If we think, no, I had to, you don't understand, it was so great. If we believe that, then we feel like I'm buttoned up against, this is just getting too much, I just have to let the other person have it. Or I just have to have a fit. Maybe you're by yourself. I'm mad. I don't like the way things are going. Why is this happening? This is stupid. Or I don't like my job anymore. Or, why didn't God come through here? I mean, it's not smart to question the faithfulness of God. If He's not faithful, why trust His word on anything? I understand the pressure's there. But we have to understand, where is the pressure coming from? It's coming from Satan, who wants to control our life. And he knows, whether we know it or not, the steering wheel is our tongue. And his will for our life is to drive us off the cliff. He wants us to destroy ourselves. Because he wants to destroy. If he destroys you, that's one more Christian he doesn't have to worry about. You messing up his plans. I mean, he doesn't treat his own very well. You see people over and over throughout history get to the pinnacle of fame and fortune. You see rock stars, and they're dead in all kinds of really bad ways in their 20s. Mm-hmm. The devil can't help himself. He's a killer. People doing real good work for him, and he still just can't help it. He runs them. You would think he would back off the gas some. Let the person live for another 50 years so they can do real damage, but he'll just push them, till they're done. They're dead. But he certainly, so he doesn't treat his own well, but he hates you and I. And so he wants to push on you to get you to let words out. But didn't we read here in James, verse 9 says, with it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, did he say, I know how you feel?
No.
Some days you just have to let it rip. I get that.
No.
Did he say that? He didn't say it. He didn't say, some days I just can't help myself. It's the straw that broke the camel's back, and here we go. He just said they ought not to be so. We ought not have a mouth that blesses God and then curses men, including yourself, or curses situations. We shouldn't do it. Now, I'm not here. This is not to bring condemnation to us. Because if we've messed up, and we all have, if we've brought it before God and said, God, I blew it, I acknowledged it, then God's cleansed you, and you put it behind you. He says he blots out your transgression. He doesn't remember it. So it's not to bring condemnation. It's to make us aware of what's going on so that we can combat it so that we can circumvent it. When we feel the pressure to say stuff, we say something negative, we can know where that pressure's coming, we identify it, and we say, oh no, you're not going to do this. I know you want to take the wheel, but I'm not letting you have it. I'm not going to let you have it. I am controlling my life under the leadership of the Lord God. I submit to Him. I am not going to yield my mouth to you. No, I don't want to go in that direction. I may not understand everything that's going on right now, but I am not going to yield my mouth and start speaking curses and negativity over my life, regardless of what the natural, excuse me, looks like. I'm going to say what God says, and I'm going in this direction. I'm going to give God the place in my life to work and to get me where I need to be. The Bible says that the angels stand ready to do the word of Almighty God. If we'll speak the word, you give them something to work with. When we start speaking negativity, I'm sure, if we can see it in the spiritual realm, and I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I'm sure the effect is, shut up. They're like, don't say that. Don't. And they got to be there going, I can't do anything with that. Help me help you. Don't say that. If you say God's word, if you say what He says, now, in the midst of this trial, now say it. Not when you feel great. Now, speak the word. You are giving God the place, the angels the place to work on your behalf, and you're keeping control of your life. So I already have control. I wanted to say those things. No, you were deceived. You're deceived. We can get tricked. And how about other people? The enemy wants to use your tongue to rip other people apart. There's things that you know. You shouldn't say. You should be nice. Somebody may have frustrated you. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your sister. You know, maybe it's your child. Mom, whatever. You know that you shouldn't say certain things, but you want to. It takes a much stronger person not to. When your flesh is crying out, you want to, than it does to just let her rip. How hard is that? How hard is it just to say whatever comes to your mind? Well, I'm just going to let you know how I feel. I'm going to let you know what I think of you. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do it. And then so many times we regret that we did that. Why didn't I just hold my tongue? But we have to know there is more than just superficial, well, I just said a few words. No, it taints the atmosphere. You can affect somebody's life very negatively by saying the wrong things to them, especially kids. And I mean, it doesn't have to be children. I mean, adults. Somebody could say something to you. You know it as well as I do. We could have influence on others. But the Bible says this ought not to be so. And so we should strengthen ourselves. Right now, I mean, God is speaking to us that we should strengthen ourselves in this area, and though we may have missed it before, we're girding ourselves up and strengthening ourselves and saying, okay, I understand this. I understand at a level I haven't. I will not yield my mouth to Satan any longer. The devil's not going to, I'm not going to give him a foothold in my life through my own tongue. And I'm not going to let him destroy those that I love through my mouth. That will not happen. Amen. We need to say that. Say this after me. Say, I will not. Speak evil words over myself, over those around me. I won't speak evil words. to other people, I will not let Satan use my tongue. Amen. Now, some of you may be thinking, I don't know if I can do that. See, you already are defeating yourself. We need to say, God never tells us to do something that we can't do. He would be an unjust God if He told us to do something that we couldn't do. So if He's told us that these things ought not to be so, then we have to believe that He has the ability and the power and the strength to help us if we'll yield to Him. So we have to make the decision now before we get in certain situations. I won't do it. You say, what happened if I miss it? Don't wallow there and say, oh, I let it out. Just say, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I'm sorry. And get up and go on right then. If you missed it with somebody else, stop right there and say, I shouldn't have said that. Right? Even if you let it out of your mouth and you knew you shouldn't have said it, you knew you shouldn't say it, but you let it out, immediately say, I'm sorry, that was the wrong thing. And you know what? If the other person understands what's going on, I mean, you don't do this to just anybody, but like, let's say, those of you that are married, and you understand what's going on, I've said this to Shelley. Look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I yielded to the wrong thing. I know, and she knows what I'm talking about. I knew I shouldn't have said it, and I said the wrong thing. Just say it. And if the person is on the same page and they're honest, they'll say, "All right, I'm sorry," or "I forgive you," and go on. Yes. But we need to take this seriously and know that we can do it. That we can do what God told us we can do. The Bible says that no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Praise God. There's a scripture. Let's see if I can find it. Anybody, I didn't write this down. I wasn't necessarily going to go this way, but it's related. Does anybody know where in the Gospels where Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. You know what it is, Andrew? That's right. Good job, buddy. So let's read this. It's Matthew 16:13. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, or that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So who's he yielding to? He's yielding to God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but God did. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so he says, well, I will give you the keys of heaven, kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So Peter, just before this, inspired by God, says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then just a little bit later, Peter is bringing Jesus, the Christ, aside and correcting him and telling him what he should not do and saying this thing should not. Jesus is proclaiming what he knows he's called to do. And Peter is telling him, you're not going to do this. It shouldn't be unto you. It will not be unto you. And Jesus does not say, Peter, be quiet. He deals with what's behind and inspiring Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. So Peter didn't turn a bad person at this point. He's simply yielding his tongue to the wrong thing. And you and I can do that at any time. You say, so how can somebody say such a thing? Real easy. You know exactly how they do it because we've done it. We can easily yield to the Spirit of God and then yield to the enemy and tear somebody down. So we have to be careful. What are we yielding to? What does yield mean? It means to get out of the way. So if there's pressure, if there's a direction, you can do this with God. You can do it with the enemy. When we say we're yielding to the Spirit of God, that means God's wanting to do something and you get out of the way and let Him do it. When you're talking about yielding to the Spirit of God, like in the Spirit, in prophecy or whatever, He's wanting to do something and you know it, you're getting out of the way and say, God, you do it, and you yield to the Holy Spirit. That means move. When you're yielding in traffic, that means you give way. It's the same thing. The enemy is bearing down, bringing pressure, and trying to get you to say something. If you say, no, I'm not going to do it. I won't let that come out of my mouth. I will not. You're resisting. But as soon as you say, oh, what the heck, and yield, when you let it go, you are getting out of the way and letting Satan take control. I'm not saying he possessed you. You're just letting him say what he would like to say. He wants to get at the other person. He wants to get at you. He wants to destroy us. And we need to be conscious of that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. God is good and His mercy endures forever. He is so gracious, so faithful. If you were thinking, well, I just can't do that earlier when we were talking about that, do this. When you are feeling the pressure, say, Lord, be honest with God. Sometimes when we're being tempted, it's like we run away from God. Go, I don't want to do that. I know what's happening. I don't want to give in. But you're not. There's a difference between then trying to do it in your own strength and running to God and saying, God, I'm having trouble right now. I'm tempted. The Bible says you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means there is always a way of escape. Always. Always. Say always. Always. There is always a way of escape. And if in the middle of when we're being pressured in this area, if we'll say, Lord, I'm tempted, but help me. Lord, my heart is to do your will. My heart is to speak godly things. Help me. You will see the power of God rest on you to help you do His word. But you're asking Him. But you're calling to Him. And He's faithful every time to help you overcome. Amen?